Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Differential privacy and other things we learned this morning at the WWDC keynote address.
How exciting. And I'm going to blow up kitties.
And I have an app that might make live photos more useful.
Ooh, I like that. On iOS Today. iOS Today is brought to you by PillPack, a full-service online pharmacy that combines modern technology, convenient packaging, and personalized service to make your life easier. Visit PillPack.com/twit and save $20 on vitamins and OTCs when you transfer your prescriptions. Yeah, welcome to iOS Today. iOS 10 is here, and we are ready to talk to you about it. Leo Laporte.
And Megan Maroney. iOS 10 isn't here quite yet.
Well, it's here if you're a developer. You can download it right now. The public preview, which means everybody can download it, is next month. And the official release, which I'd recommend waiting for, is in the fall. With a new iPhone.
Right. I mean, we talked about maybe one of us would spare one of our iPads that we have littered all over our house to put in the beta at some point, the public beta. But
I wonder,
can't show it on the show.
I think you can.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, I think the public beta you can do that.
You can show it, maybe not
as a developer, although they changed the rules last year, I think, and suddenly people were able to talk about the betas. Apple certainly talked a lot about the betas today. They spent quite a bit of time, not just on the new iOS, but also new watchOS and tvOS. And the way we do this show, we consider those three all really iOS. Mm-hmm. They're based on iOS. They also announced macOS. I want to say 10.
macOS.
Not going to do it. Not going to. macOS Sierra, which is OS 10, 10. Sierra.
But now it's called Mac OS.
Yeah. So it's all OS.
Can we start right from the beginning of the address? Because I thought it was so classy that Tim Cook took a moment, just a moment of silence, to think of the victims in Orlando of the deadly shooting.
Beautiful.
And I thought, I mean, he didn't make any political statements, nor will we, but it was just nice just to take a moment. He had everyone stand, just a moment of silence to remember all the people that lost their lives and that are wounded or that just had to experience that at all.
I thought that was very beautifully done and beautifully said by Tim. And I'm actually really glad he did it. You kind of have to acknowledge the horror that happened yesterday. And then they got right into it and talked a lot about, they started talking about Watch. So maybe we should start about Watch. I'm excited. I feel like what they're doing with the Watch is not updating the hardware. And by the way, no new hardware at all at this event. This is all about new operating systems and new apps. But I'm really kind of excited about one change in the watch, which is that applications now will load instantly. We'll have to see if that's really true. They did demonstrate an app, though, that did load instantly. And part of the way they're doing that is by prefetching information from the phone that they know you're going to want. So I guess there'll be some amount of memory dedicated to kind of being ready for you should you open an app, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm super excited about that because that's the spinning flower of death that we all hate, and it happens all the time with most of my apps.
If there's one single reason I don't use the watch more, it's that. Because if the app isn't an Apple app, if it's not right on the watch there, then I'm just not going to open it because I don't have time.
Right.
Uber is a really good example. I loved it when they first said, hey, you're going to be able to use Uber to call cars on your watch. And twice I tried it, and it was like waiting. I finally went to the iPhone. It's fairly quick on the iPhone, and that's it. I never used it again. And in fact, I probably took it off my Apple Watch. So it'll be good. It'll be good to be able to launch apps, use them right away. They also added into the Apple Watch a couple new watch faces, a Minnie Mouse face.
Mm-hmm.
As a female mouse, you must be pretty happy about
exactly,
that.
Exactly, yes. I know female mice have
everywhere
been clamoring for equality for decades. yes, Minnie Mouse, that was very nice.
I think that's kind of cute. Yeah. And what they observed is that people, and I think this is true, the people I know who use the Apple Watch don't pick and stay with one face. Different occasions call for different faces. I know when I went to Disneyland, I put the Mickey face up, right? Because I want to be, you know, hip and with it at Disneyland. So they're going to allow you to easily swipe from face to face. Pick the faces you use all the time and swipe back and forth. Another face that you'll be able to use is an activity-based face. They said people everywhere want to complete their rings. Is that true?
People everywhere sitting in this chair do want to complete their rings. It's very important to me.
Get those circles all the way around.
And it's weird. I mean, it's one of those addictions I'm not proud of because if I'm doing an hour and a half of yoga, it doesn't necessarily, record. It's not as fast with the rings as if I went running. So I find myself like, oh, I'm going to take a long run instead of lifting weights because I'll get rings.
Right.
If you lift weights, you get nothing.
Yeah.
But that's not a good way to live your life.
No, but it is at least pushing you toward an activity. I agree with you. Yoga should count. I do rowing, and I don't get much credit for that. I do spin classes. I get some credit for that. But you're right. Walking and running, you get the most credit for, and that's something I don't do a lot of. Running especially, because it's hard on my knees. But at least it kind of encourages you to be active, and I think that's good. I think taking standing up out of the rings, that's a dumb ring. You stood up every hour for... What a minute.
I know. I'm still proud. Every Monday I get the warning, you had a perfect stand week. And I'm so proud of myself. But it's like, everybody gets a trophy. I stood up.
Yeah. It just bugs me because it's all at the same time. It's always 10 minutes to the hour. By the way, I think it's going to be time to stand up in a second now. I disabled it, does that mean my rings now no longer reflect that? Or
I don't know. Do you have all the rings? What's the stand ring is the middle one? The blue one?
Yeah, it still has a stand ring, so that's
dumb. But it
doesn't
warn you. You disabled the warnings.
I disabled the warnings, but now I can't even complete my rings because I don't get warned. So what it normally counts, the red ring is calories, right? The green ring is active exercise, and they want you to do, on calories for me, because it adjusts itself, 500 calories of exercise or some sort of activity. I've already got 100 from just sitting here, so it counts everything. Although I only have 1 minute out of the 30 minutes of exercise I should have. And then I've only stood up 3 times today. So bad me, right? That's why I can't ever complete my rings. Because I'm not a stander. I'm a sitter.
And sometimes you don't even wear your watch. So
most of the time I don't wear my watch. I use a Fitbit Blaze, and I really like that a lot. But I have to say, there's nothing more accurate this in terms of heart rate. I was really thrilled to see them acknowledging that there are some people who are active but don't get credit for it. It's not just you yoga types. It's also people in wheelchairs. If you're in a chair, it wasn't counting motion accurately. And I thought, this is nice. I mean, it's probably a small market, but nevertheless, it's awesome. So and there's different ways people roll their chair. I didn't know that. There's an elliptical method, and there's a parabolic method, and there's an arc method. Anyway, it will count these more accurately, and so you'll get credit for activity as you roll instead of walk. I think that's great. And they also took out, and I had never thought of this, they took out the stand-up for people who are in chairs. There's a wheelchair mode, and it doesn't prod you to stand up, which I hadn't thought about it, but that's kind of be annoying, right?
I know. I mean, they're always so great about accessibility. You don't think about the times you say, like, do you see what I'm talking about to someone who's blind? Or, like, can you, you hear me with someone who can't hear? Like, just that there's so many things
It's nice to be aware.
Like, just that, roll instead of stand. I love that.
Roll. Roll. How many feet would you roll instead of standing? Just roll 5 feet. And be sure you're not near a cliff. Or, a hole in the ground, I guess. I have problems with these kind of weird blanket recommendations, but I do like it that it tracks my activities. And they're going to have reason I brought it up, they're going to have an activities watch face. There are a couple of watch faces that will show your rings and show how you're doing. That's nice.
Yeah.
What they didn't do, and I think we're all a little disappointed, is they didn't offer any third-party watch faces. They all come from Apple, and it's a limited set. And there, no one else can design watch faces. I think on the one hand, Apple wants to make sure that people don't make ugly watch faces. And they also want to make sure that the watch faces that are made are energy efficient, that they don't cause a problem for users. You know, on Android Wear, where there's hundreds, maybe thousands of third-party watch faces, some of them can kill your batteries, but it's nice to have that choice. And I do think people change watch faces as their mood dictates. So having hundreds to choose from is not a bad thing. Anyway, Apple's not doing it.
So. They also showed easier ways to respond to messages, which is great. For those, I
big update messages across the board.
Yes, but on your watch, iMessage, the only way to respond to messages is by the smart replies or by your voice.
Right.
And a lot of times you don't want to speak out loud what you want to say to someone. I don't like to do it at all anyway. It's slow. It's slow to do voice responses. And, you know, you can accidentally send you can record your voice and send it, or it will put it into text.
They have a smack talk mode. I thought that was kind of funny.
Oh, that was with Activity.
Oh, like that's Activity.
Activity, gamified Activity, so you can, like, with friends, see their rings, and then you can smack talk them and say,
I like that. That is the nicest thing about the improvement they made to Activities, because I've done that before with MyFitnessPal will do that. I see Dr. Mom always, saving calories, and I go, oh, man. And that stimulates me to do more. I think Lose It will also do that. These are a couple of third-party apps. But now the Activities app will allow you to keep up with your friends. I think that's actually a very good incentive, very good way to do this.
And, I mean, my favorite thing they announced about the watch is you don't need to buy another one to get all these features.
Yay!
They're going to be keeping the apps in memory. It's going to be a software update. It's not going to be a hardware update. So that was very exciting. Because I think a lot of us early adopters were like, okay, we're probably going to have to buy another watch in a year. But we don't have to.
Yay.
So that is nice.
What else is new in the watches? Oh, you can draw responses. Mm-hmm. And they particularly, I think, pointed out the Chinese market where they don't use Roman characters. They use pictograms. And, boy, I mean, really, that's a very efficient way to respond to people. They showed the woman on the stage who was doing the demo drew a response in Chinese. That was really, really cool. I thought that probably is aimed primarily at the Chinese market. Didn't look like they had other non-Roman alphabets on there, just the ability to do Chinese characters. But the Roman alphabet is kind of like graffiti. Remember graffiti on the Palm Pilot, where you would just kind of write, boom, 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 not even wait for the character to be recognized, and it would just catch up with you and put the text. It looked like it worked well. We'll have to try it and see how well that worked. But I thought that was pretty cool, too.
Emergency alerts, that was another thing.
Oh, that's what I was trying to remember, SOS. We've talked about this before on your iPhone. There are SOS apps. There's also ICE apps in case of emergency that will put on your lock screen information about your health needs, your allergies to penicillin and things like that. Emergency contacts. That's in case of emergency. It's going to support ICE. It's going to support SOS. So you can, what was it? Was it pressing the button three times or was some way to trigger it? And then it would give you a choice of call your contact, call emergency services, and it would be country aware. So if you're traveling, it would know what number to call, 911 in the States, 999. And is it Switzerland? Is 999? What is the emergency number in? 734-1991-4372-3. Right? That's it.
117.
So it's nice that they know that, right?
Yeah.
And then they ought to, because you would like to be able to call emergency services if you're traveling.
Mm-hmm.
So all this, I think, is really great.
I think so, too. Yeah. And so developers will be able to develop apps for the Apple Watch and better apps. I think basically that's what they were telling everyone. I mean, we all watch this. We're not developers. But to the developers, this is like, here are all these amazing things to do for the Apple Watch, and you can do them, too. So.
All right, so let's see. That's it. We got everything on the Apple Watch. I'm just looking at the rundown.
That's OS 3. Again, that will be available in the fall.
Faster, simpler, with breakthrough health features is what Apple is saying. Let's go to TV, and then we'll do iOS, which is the big update. I was really pleased when they mentioned how many TV channels they've got now, 1,300, which is amazing. And how many apps they've got? 6,000 apps specifically built for Apple TV. That's good news. It means people are adopting this platform and they're going to continue to make apps for it. That's really encouraging. They mentioned they have the new Sling TV app will be available that allows you to watch ESPN, TCM, Disney, and a couple of other channels. There you go. There's Eddie Q talking about it. And a couple of other channels on your Apple TV. We're moving closer and closer to this being the perfect cord cutting device. What they're still missing, and they've been negotiating like crazy to get, is local news, network programming, that kind of stuff. You know, you might have the CBS app, but you don't have your... I couldn't have watched the Tony Awards last night on my Apple TV. So that means I still have to have a cable subscription or an antenna. What else did
single
they?
Single sign-on, which was,
single
I mean, we've
sign-on,
had, like,
hallelujah.
Just so many anxiety attacks trying to get into all of our apps and put in the passwords. And
well, on the one hand, the worst possible scenario is me trying to use the HBO Go app and having to enter through the Apple remote, this horrible remote, and on screen go, they kind of improved that by letting me talk my password, although that's not something you always want to be able to do. And then if you were lucky that the provider and HBO did do this, would allow you to go to your laptop, log into your HBO account through your cable provider or through your HBO Now account, and then it would give you a code that you could enter into the laptop and it would activate it. That, to me, that was the next best thing. But if you have to do that a lot, and sometimes these apps ask for it every month, or if you do it for a lot of apps, that's a pain. So now, and it's not clear if you'll have to redo this every month or not, but now you can log into your, I guess, your cable provider, right? Mm-hmm. And that'll be a signal to all the apps that need that information that you are legit. So you won't have to log into the individual apps.
Right. It makes sense why they do it. I mean, there's so many people stealing, like, Netflix passwords, right. HBO Go passwords, that sort of thing. So that's why they do it. But they also talked about HomeKit later, but it did have to do with the Apple TV.
This is exciting. Because we realized that the Apple, or we speculated that the Apple TV would be a great hub for home automation. You know, we've got one sitting right here. It's on the Wi-Fi. It's always on. We leave it at home. So now it will, in fact, be able to talk to devices. It will be able to talk to you over the internet so you can launch the new Home app on your iPhone and say to your Apple TV, turn on the lights in the house. That's great. Mm-hmm. We speculated that it'd be there, but now it is, and it's for sure. It's no longer speculation. And to go along with that, a new app called Home for your iPhone. Let's see, what else? Siri is a little smarter.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. My hope and dream, that she would be smarter and be more open to developers so that you could be able to say, like, not just send a message, but send a Slack message, or, you know, be able to be more integrated and that in that way be smarter. And so they did say that they are opening up Siri in that way, which is exciting. They said Slack, they said, you know, VoIP, some fitness apps will be able to have access to Siri. Just more than what we have now.
I thought you could do this, but Apple's saying this is a new Siri feature. You can ask Siri for a movie by topic or theme. So you could now say, you couldn't do this before, show movies
about
baseball.
Oh, sorry. I would moved on to Siri in general.
Oh, no, I'm still on the Apple TV because there's new features for Siri on Apple TV.
Yes.
So you could now, I'm sorry, I didn't, I was wondering what you were talking
about. There's two Siri, she should have a different name on the TV. It should be called something else.
Siri TV. You could say show movies about baseball, find documentaries about cars, find high school comedies from the 80s. That's what Eddie Q showed. I think that's kind of cool. Later this month, they're going to integrate it with YouTube. So you'll be able to search with Siri. You'll be able to say, show me YouTube videos about basketball. And it'll show you those. So that's kind of
surprising because that's a Google and Apple getting along.
I know. Getting along.
There's hope.
The example they give, search YouTube for cute pug videos.
Mm. It's important. For something like that, I can see how they could open it up.
You need this feature. Ask Siri to go directly to a live channel inside a supported app. He demoed this, but I wasn't clear. And now that I'm understanding. So if you're in the CBS app, you could say, go to a CBS show. If you're in the ESPN app, you could say, I want to watch SportsCenter, but not outside the app. It won't launch the app and then go to the channel. So that's the idea is that you can go to, well, maybe you can, go directly to a live channel inside a supported app. And, of course, you can use the Siri on here to manage HomeKit now, so you'll be able to say, set temperature to 70 degrees or turn on the lights and so forth. So good improvements on Siri. Now we can talk, if you want, about Siri on iOS, because she's much improved. Finally.
Yes, finally she, well, not yet, but she will be improved.
Right.
And that's where we got into that differential privacy. What stays on our device, what goes off of our device, because we complain a lot, like, Siri can't do anything. She's not smart. All my other devices are so much smarter. And we always say that's because we're handing over a lot more information that's in the cloud. We're allowing Google a lot more of our personal information in order, because it's a trade-off.
Right.
And we accept that. So they talked a lot about this differential privacy, this idea of making things smarter, but also keeping your information on the device. And we need to do some investigation on that. But for now, they said that, sorry, I'm using my iPhone instead of my iPad. I've lost power on my iPad. But
oh, we got to get you a plug. We
no,
didn't
I
get
have
you
a plug.
Plug.
It just keeps, you know.
It's not doing it.
It doesn't charge fast. Right. This small electric plug isn't charging fast enough for me. But let's see. I think I just mentioned all this stuff. You can use Siri with Slack and some fitness apps.
Open Table. And Open because table. They've opened the API, more and more apps should start working with Siri. And I do like that. I mean, that's really, you know, when Apple bought Siri, you could make a reservation via Open Table. They took that feature out. Mm-hmm. Now it's back. But more importantly, they're letting third-party apps write their own integration into Siri. And Siri will know if the app you just installed works with Siri, and you'll be able to talk to it via Siri. And I think that's really that's a big improvement. Siri is going to be much more useful, I think, going forward. We forgot to mention, just seeing if they'd updated it, there is also going to be a new Apple remote app for the iPhone that will have all the features, including Siri, of the worst remote ever designed, the Apple TV remote.
I don't know. I mean, it's simple.
Some things I like about it. It's really simple. The thing I don't like about it is how easy it is to accidentally hit this touchpad.
True.
And last night we were watching the Tonys, and the cat rewound it for like 15 minutes before I could find the remote. The cat just walking across it rewound it. It's like, ugh! So I actually keep my Apple TV remote in a drawer now so that it can't be accidentally touched.
They also talked about photos. I guess this is all kind of part of iOS 10 now.
Yeah.
Should we move into iOS 10?
Yeah. Let's talk about iOS 10.
Okay. Because photos is part of iOS 10, I
think. Right. Although you'll be able to do many of these things on the Apple TV and on the iPhone, as well as one of the things they're going to do on the iPhone is your photos will have Google Photo-like search capabilities. So it'll automatically put together pictures from an event, and you'll have an album. It'll even pre-edit video with music and transitions and slow-mo that you can send to people. It will also have the ability to search for pugs in your pictures, things like that. And they said, and this was, I find this fascinating. I'm gonna want to know more about how they do this, that they do this all on phone, and which is a lot of processing power, but admittedly, these are very, very, very fast computers. I guess it could do it. There's enough storage and memory and so forth. But it doesn't have access to all your photos on the phone, does it? Maybe it does. I don't know. I think it still will have to. I mean, it's most useful if it will access all my photos, including the ones on iCloud, in which case it isn't only on the phone.
Well, that's the way the phone works now. I mean, I don't have all my photos on here, but I can access them through iCloud by just pulling them up.
Right.
They appear. They appear.
Right. You're getting a thumbnail. Are all the thumbnails for all the photos that are on iCloud on your phone?
Yes.
They are?
Yes.
Okay.
But you can change that setting. But it does seem like that it's one of those claims that need to be checked out. It seems like impossible. And I have a very powerful phone, too. So what about someone with, iPhone 6 or an iPhone
You'll have to have 5? An iPhone 5 or better, of course, to use iOS 10. See, there are more pictures on iCloud than I have on my phone, I think. So are those going to be included in the searches, in the albums?
Right. If you're talking about memories, I mean, that's, you're not keeping photos from a year ago even on your phone.
Right.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they're just...
I don't know how it works.
We'll see. How it works. But it is interesting because I love Google Photos, and I think I probably will continue to use Google Photos. It's very difficult for me to believe that Apple Photos is going to be better.
Well, they're playing catch-up. They haven't added features that aren't on Google Photos, except maybe that video feature. That's nice. It reminds me, it's funny, of the Zoe, the HTC Zoes. I remember I was taking a lot of Zoes when the HTC One came out. That's like 3 years ago, right? And it would automatically take the pictures you'd taken and make a video out of it with music, and you could change the music or re-edit the video. That's been around for years. It wasn't a big hit, frankly. HTC, I think they still offer it, but it's not a big deal. So Apple's kind of playing catch-up there also, and it was a feature that I loved when I first tried it, made about three videos and never used it again. That's what happens with a lot of these, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we could have a whole discussion about apps and how people aren't, you know, using them anymore. They're downloading them, not using them.
Right.
You know, using them a couple of times. But, you know, when you talk about automating our photos and videos, it brings up a bigger issue to me that, like, oh, well, now we no longer have to edit videos. Like, that's part of the fun, right? Like, you took a bunch of videos, a bunch of pictures, and you're going to edit them in to make some kind of art. We went to the city on Friday, went to the Museum of Modern Art, and Annabella took all these pictures. And then she, you know, had iMovie on her phone. She just spent, it's easier than it used to be when we were editing videos. But she spent some time making
right.
this movie,
it was
putting
a long
it to
time.
Music. And
like that weird emo kid on Christmas Day who was, like, we thought he wasn't paying any attention. And then at the end of the... Oh, I mean, that was an ad.
That didn't really happen. Yeah, but she made this 5-minute video that was great, and she took the time, and it wouldn't have been the same if she just, like, clicked an app and said, you know, oh, look,
right.
somebody, you know, some computer made a video for me. Like, we're losing something, don't
yeah.
you think?
You could still use iMovie, but, yeah. I think, I'm going to guess, but I think this is why I stopped using the Zoe feature, is it was very obvious that you're using the canned video thing. You're going to get the same music, you know, 5 music tracks. You're going to get the same kind of style. And pretty soon you're going to be sick of it, just as you are with keynote transitions. Mm-hmm. It's the same. You'll recognize it, and it won't feel that custom or
right.
interesting.
Right.
I'm guessing. I'll have to try it and see. Google Photos doesn't, as far as I could tell, doesn't do anything more, but maybe there's a few things like the animated GIFs, things like that. But the big differentiator is going to be more privacy versus, well, we don't want to see your photos and we don't mm-hmm. care and we're not going to. That really is smart of Apple to really promote the idea that this is you're getting to do this all without compromising your privacy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So speaking of privacy and AI, they didn't really mention the term AI. I never heard them mention it. They talked about deep learning, which is
deep
kind of
learning.
What
it's
people
better.
Use.
Even, much better than
even better than machine learning. I mean, it's
deep
it's,
learning.
Deep learning mm. is, makes it seem not like the robots are going to take all
right.
our jobs in 10 minutes. They also mentioned LSTM, which is long,
Lucky
short...
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. No, that's...
And it's a type of algorithm, a long short-term memory. Have you heard that?
Is that what it stands for?
That's what John said it stood for, because we talked about this on Tech News Today on Thursday, too. I've heard it before.
This
and
is
I wonder,
the part of their differential privacy
yeah, long,
system.
Short-term memory. So I didn't know if that's a common term.
Is that really what LSTM means?
I don't know.
I can't believe that, because that sounds like gobbledygook.
It does. That was that's what John said. So... I wondered if that was part of this differential
long short-term privacy. Memory. It's a recurrent neural network architecture created in 1997 by Sepp Hochreiter and Jürgen Schmidhuber.
So does long short-term memory meaning it's like, is that the same as like on the device? Like not, you know, not keeping all this information and using it later? Or is that something?
No, it has nothing to do with that at all.
Okay.
It's a neural, it's an AI. It's an acronym for AI that... it's just an algorithm, and it's an AI
LSTM.
Algorithm. Yeah.
So
it achieved the best-known results in unsegmented connected handwriting recognition. In 2009, it won the ICAR handwriting competition. It's also been used for automatic speech recognition. You know what? He was just throwing that acronym out.
Well, he went off script, probably, because I'm sure they told them, like, just say deep learning, don't
no,
say
No, I think
AI.
It was...
Don't say robotic
overlords. No, he had a slide that said LSTM. Wow, that's, you know, okay.
I think it's important to know what this stuff is that is going to be.
I'm glad you brought this up. That's what it means, long, short-term memory.
Yeah, I think we cannot underestimate the importance of this stuff in our lives in the future.
Yeah, yeah.
Can we move on to messages, iMessages?
I am excited about that. Now, I know Andy Inoko, who joined us for the keynote, poo-pooed this, but I will be using the shrinking, the expanding, the slap down,
the
invisible.
We know you love stickers.
I love stickers. They're finally making the emojis big enough. You know, one of the reasons I started using stickers is because emojis were so teensy-weensy, they're going to make the emojis 3 times bigger, so you may be more inclined. And this is my favorite part. When you type a text message, you could press a button that emojifies it. So any word in the text message that could be replaced by an emoji, you can replace it. And that's going to make me look so much hipper to my kids. I cannot wait to talk to them in emoji talk. The language of the street. Kids today, that's if you don't you're just, you're seen as an old person.
You are. I mean, it does. It lightens up conversations. And I think it's useful because we communicate through text messages so much now that you can be misunderstood so easily. There are some people that just automatically assume that the person's angry that's talking to them.
An emoji.
Because they're being short. But if you use an emoji, you just
fixes
know.
All.
Yeah.
Actually, okay, I'm going to be honest with you now instead of sarcastic. No kid uses any of these techniques. They use Snapchat. And you might as well forget anybody under 25. This is the mom feature. This is for you and me to talk to each other. And I, for one, can't wait. But my kids, I wonder if they're going to say, oh, finally, I can make disappearing messages. I know they're using Snapchat. It's like over.
Well, they still stop. They're still talking to their moms. At least my child is still talking to.
I'd be very
her
curious.
Mother, me.
If Annabella, I will be very curious to see if she starts using any of these features. And by the way, it won't work if you're text messaging somebody or you're messaging somebody on another platform like Android. It will only work if you're talking to somebody Apple, iPhone to iPhone. Or well, the good news is it will work on the watch and the iPad and the Mac, but. I think that kind of means that people are going to be more reluctant to use these features unless they know it's, you know, it'll be close personal friends and family that you'll use it with, right? Because you won't know if they're going to see the. I don't even know how it's going to render. If you send a giant disappearing message, what are they going to see?
Yeah.
Just plain old text?
What they see when the disappearing message?
No, if you send it to somebody over SMS or on an Android, what are they going to see?
I mean, that was the thing that I was really hoping for, that iMessage would be able to have iMessage on Android, that we kind of heard rumors that might be. And it made sense because it's annoying for those of us who have friends that are on Android that they're not getting the message. So I thought, oh, yeah, they'll do that for us, for iPhone users. But it doesn't seem like...
No, and everything Apple announced is really designed to get you to, if you use one Apple product, use all Apple products, right? All the benefits and features of the new OS, Mac OS, of the new iOS, the new Watch OS, the new TV OS, work. I wanted to say work best with other Apple devices. Only work with other Apple devices. It's not even work best. They just don't even try. You should just be all Apple all the time. And you know what? That's their business.
Well, you could see it that way. Or you could see it like, oh, for those of us who do use Apple products, it's nice to have all those things work together in that way.
Yeah.
But
Snapchat works cross-platform. So my kids are going to keep using that.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I said something on Facebook the other day about how difficult it is to communicate with my child who's communicating with her friend who's communicating with her mom. And it's like making plans. Yeah. It's just chaos. And I have a friend who works at Facebook who's just like, you got to use Facebook Messenger. And it's like
I started using Facebook Messenger for that reason.
Yeah, that's what we use
to communicate
with each other.
When I ignore you, I ignore you on Facebook Messenger.
Exactly, which you actually did this week.
I know
to ignore me everywhere.
This happens to me all the time. I read everything. Mm-hmm. And then I'm looking at your message and I thought, "Well, that's a really good question. Let me think about that a while." And I'm still thinking about it.
Right.
So that's the only problem. So I think you would do the same thing if you got this message from Megan. She says, "Do you know of a to-do app that allows you to automatically will send someone else a text message to remind them to do something?" So a to-do app that will let you automatically send someone else a text message saying, "Hey, don't forget to take out the trash."
That came from Dominic, actually.
It's a great question.
It's a great question.
And, of course, I read that. And I'm thinking, and what am I going to do? Right? Bear with me. I'm thinking about it? No, I just thought, well, I'll respond as soon as I come up with an answer. And I just never did.
Well, for the record, I've known you for so long that you ignoring me on any message platform, I know not to take.
Well, look,
I know
how
long your attention span is.
So you send me these long messages and I say, wow. Then you send me another long message, and I say, sure. So I respond to you.
I like how you were going to show our message conversation, and Kevin didn't take the bait. Don't show our messages to each other. I mean, you can, actually. There's nothing in them that are...
No, this great story about the thing with the thing, and then the dog, and then I said, wow. And then, no.
Okay, we've gotten off track here.
But now as I am looking at your messages, it's very much like a husband and wife's conversation.
Marco, and my messages, too. It's like everybody knows
like
this.
Long,
it's like the
long message,
bubbles are this big.
Big white bubbles, and I'm going, uh-huh.
Yeah, everyone knows.
Sure,
that.
Love it, I'm saying. No, I'm looking at it now. Wow, and sure. So that's eight words, and I'm thinking four or five pages of text from you. So there you go.
No messaging platform is going to solve that problem, I don't think. Maybe if I could do, like, exploding, disappearing messages and stickers.
Well, you know, and by the way, most of the time I'm answering this on an Android phone, and I get exactly what you sent me on the iPhone. It looks the same on the Android phone. But because it's Facebook Messenger, I get those darn chat bubbles. You don't see these on iOS. But your head pops up floating on my screen on Android. And I can move it around, but I can't. But, like, it's there bugging me. So I, you know, it's really, that's why I tell you, use Facebook Messenger to message me, because I can't ignore it. It's in my face. It doesn't do that on iOS, which is probably another reason why I should start using an iPhone again on a regular basis. I do use both.
Right. So, I mean, I do think that if they had made it, one reason for them to make iMessage on Android is to defend themselves against people who are like, let's just go, everybody's
on Facebook.
I don't
think they care. I don't think they care. I think that, you know, it's interesting, because remember, Microsoft gave up and said, all right, we're just going to make our software for whatever our users use. They don't use Windows Phone, fine. We're not going to make these great apps for Windows Phone. We're going to make them for iOS. And they just gave up. And Apple, I don't think Apple's going to give up. I think Apple's going to say, no, if you want to use our stuff, use it on an Apple device, because that's our business. That's what we do. And that's fine. I mean, as long as they're clear about that. I was a little skeptical when I read those rumors that they were going to do an Android version of messages. I thought, I don't know why Apple would do that. But
it looks like they're not going to. Yeah.
Well, they may still. We don't know.
Well, so this wasn't talked about at WWDC, but it came out last week, the App Store changes, which they didn't talk about.
Yeah.
I'm sure that you read that they're moving to a subscription model. I mean, you don't have to have app subscriptions, but now there are different ways to get to make money from your app. You can sell your app, one-time purchase, or you can do in-app purchases.
And they're cutting the cost on the cut that they take out of subscriptions substantially. They're
right.
Cutting it in half.
Yeah, if the person subscribes to your app for a year.
For more than a year.
Yeah, which is interesting. What we've been talking about, a lot of people download apps and then never use them again.
Right.
What do you think about the subscription model for apps?
I'm not crazy about it. There are certain things I subscribe to. Of course, magazines would be one, and this would apply to those. But also weather apps sometimes will charge you a small $1.99 or whatever yearly fee. And I pay a few of those. There's a few things I use. I don't want too many apps to do this, because I don't want to suddenly it's costing me $100 a year to use my iPhone because of all these subscriptions. The nice thing is Apple does put them all in one spot, so you can go and you can look at them and you can cancel them or renew them as needed. And in fact, that's the first thing I did is I thought, well, what am I paying for? And I did find a bunch of subscriptions, and they simplified it. The other thing they showed is a improved Apple Music app. They made the one improvement they really had to make, which is to make it very clear, this is music that's on the phone. This is music that's streaming to the phone. There's a downloaded button, and that means music on your phone. And I think some of the problems people were having with Apple Music and this question, is it deleting my music, was this unclear where that music came from. And Apple, in the old Apple Music, which, by the way, I still have, and I guess we'll continue to have it till they release iOS 10, it's not clear what's downloaded, what's streaming. It will be much clearer. Are you surprised, though? The one thing I really was hoping for, and I know I'm not alone, is that they would announce an update to iTunes. And nothing.
So that means it's not, I mean, if it's not going, it's part, is iTunes part of OS, Mac OS?
When you update, you can get a separate update, but it will also be updated when you update iOS, or rather Mac OS. So, yeah, it sort of is, it sort of isn't.
I mean, does that mean we're not going to get it for a year? I mean,
I don't know what
that
means.
Past the fall? Because
well, they made a big deal about how much Apple Music was going to be updated. I don't think there were significant changes to Apple
Music.
No,
it looked a little bit different, like what you're talking about, telling the difference between your downloaded music. But other than that, it wasn't much.
No. So, don't know. One thing they are going to do more of is the curation, so they're going to help you discover songs better. And that's something that was the original promise of Apple Music. That's what Jimmy Iovine, who runs Apple Music, one of the guys they got when they acquired Beats, was big on. He says the best music apps have humans recommending music to other humans. And he really said human curation is going to be the differentiator. And I hadn't seen a whole lot of that, but apparently they're going to have a lot more of it in the new Apple Music. That's a good thing. I think at least if you're of a certain age, where if you're young and you hang out with a lot of the other young people, that's one of the topics of conversation is. What do you listen to? What music do you like? And so that music gets handed around that way. But after maybe 27, we don't have those conversations much anymore. Mm-hmm. You tend to kind of listen to the same music you listened to for the first 20 years of your life. And so it'd be nice, I think. Something I always want is, I want some discovery. One of the reasons I like Spotify is because I can see other people's playlists and I can hear music that I wouldn't normally hear. They're going to add some of those new features, and I think that's really, really great.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because I, on Friday, Amazon announced the standalone $9.99 subscription service for them, which would be separate from Prime Music.
Yeah.
And I was telling my dad about it, and he's like, well, why would anyone need it? Prime Music is fine for me. Like anything,
right.
Every time I've tried to want
everything
to listen
I
to
want
everything.
Is there.
And that's the difference.
All the Elvis songs.
A million. It's
all
like,
the Bill Haley
right,
and the Comets
like for
music.
My dad, it's fine. Like, yeah. I could name anything. But he's like, Hamilton? He's like, I wanted to listen to Hamilton. That's new. And it was
it's
on
there.
Yeah.
It's there.
And so, but it's a certain kind of new. I guess. But it's a million songs versus, I don't know what, I mean,
I think it's 32 million at last
right.
count for Apple Music.
So you can see
like
that's the difference, 32
that's a
million
huge difference.
And 1 million. But to some
yeah.
people, it's not. So
yeah.
I think that will be interesting if that changes at all, if that is that Amazon subscription service makes any dent.
I was kind of surprised that Amazon did that. I thought, why bother?
Right.
You're getting into a field that's so crowded that we already know many of the people in the field are going to go out of business in the next year or two. Why would you get into that? You know, what you already have Prime Music. What are you doing?
I mean, it is a field, like it is a crowded field, but like you said, it's becoming a less crowded field. But
maybe
if you're
that's
talking
the opportunity.
About,
yeah.
Just keeping up with the Apples and Googles.
Right.
You know, just it's really those three.
That makes me sad in a way. And I do think that this is one of the things that's happening is, to some degree, Facebook, Google, Apple, Microsoft, Amazon all feel like they have to do everything the other guy does. There's no longer this sense of, well, no, we're a retailer. We're going to be the best darn retailer we could be. We don't need to be in all the businesses these other guys are in. It's fine to have a niche and do a really good job in that niche. But, you know, they're all looking for growth. Stock market's pushing them. And they all have to, you know, make sure that they're competing. And so I think it's kind of happening is this homogenization of these companies. Look at a number of the things Apple announced today were catch-up to products from competitors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, make your photos look like Snapchat. I mean, all that message stuff, writing on the message, Snapchat has that, the stickers, Facebook has that. Yeah.
But the good news is Apple it does have a unique path, which is the path towards privacy and security. And I think that's a good place for them to go. And then clearly what the other part of it is, and it's enough to make me kind of reconsider whether I want to use devices from other platforms, is the synergy you get when you have an Apple Watch, an Apple TV, an iPhone, an iPad, and a Macintosh. There really is, and there will be in spades in the fall, a huge synergy. You get so much benefit from being all Apple. That's good business for them. I don't like it because I like to be able to choose the best thing in each category. But boy, there's so much benefit now. Like messages alone, for me to use messages. Lisa uses messages, my wife, and she's an iPhone user. So there's more pressure for me to go back to using an iPhone, even though I might like another phone better.
Mm-hmm.
That's smart. Good business, Apple. Good job.
It is. You know who else has a good business?
Oh, I'm guessing it's somebody on this little blue clipboard here, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I forgot this, but a couple of years ago when I would pull this clipboard out, it wouldn't have a Twit logo on it. It would have a price. There was a price tag still on it. And credit to Tom, who's visiting us from Switzerland, he sent me an email saying, you know, maybe you don't see it because it's on the back, but every time you use your clipboard, there's a price tag on there. Well, you should put a Twit logo on it. And the next day, right? The next day, Leo listens. What? That's dumb. Anyway, our show today, I tell you what, Tom, next time, if you could send me something to make me some money like this, some better ideas. I want some ideas like this. This was genius. This is the pill pack. This is, as with almost all our advertisers, our advertisers see ways they can use modern technology to change older businesses and make them better for consumers. Using the internet, using image recognition, PillPack has created a better, simpler, pharmacy. I want you to visit pillpack.com/twit. This is the pill pack they're named for. Now, first of all, it's a pharmacy. It's everything your existing pharmacy is. They take all most forms of insurance, including most forms of Medicare Part D. There's no additional cost for their service. You don't have to pay shipping or anything. They take care of it all, just your usual copay. But they're online, and the pharmacists are there 24/7. They're in the United States. It's an American company. So when you call, you can get a pharmacist. It could be the middle of the night, and you're saying, you know, I want to take this medication because I'm not sleeping well, but is it going to interact badly with my other medication? You have a question, you call them, and a pharmacist answers, and you have that conversation in the privacy of your own home. That by itself would be huge. They also allow you, of course, to send them your prescriptions. They will automatically message your physician if it's time for a refill and handle a refill and send it to you automatically. But the thing that really sends me on this is the pill pack itself. Here it is. This is a pill pack. Now, if you have inhalers or ointments or other things, those will come in a box, nicely refrigerated box. But your pills will come in this box. This box has your name, the date, a picture, an image of every medication you're taking, the name of the medication, the prescribing information, the prescribing doctor, the prescription number, dosing information, clearly written in nice big letters. And then you don't even have to pay attention to that because this is the pill pack itself inside the box. For every time you're to take medication, it'll have the time, the day, the date, exactly what medication is in there. And it's just in this easy open pouch. You can even turn it around and see it. And that's where the image recognition technology comes in. They actually use computer learning to scan these, make sure you've got the right meds. And then the pharmacist looks at it again. So you really, this is a foolproof system for getting you exactly the right meds at exactly the right time. You never have to wonder, did I take my pills this morning? Well, if it's here, you didn't. Take them. If it isn't, then you did. And man, when you travel, you just take off the pouches you need, throw them in your carry-on. You've got everything you need. And the prescription information is right there, too, for the TSA. This is so fantastic. It's just a better, simpler pharmacy. And I want you to try it right now. Go to pillpack.com/twit. You'll like the website. Easy to navigate. It'll just take you a couple of minutes to sign up and get your prescriptions transferred over. And when you do, you'll get a credit for $20 worth of vitamins or OTCs on us as a thank you for going to pillpack.com/twit. A better pharmacy through technology. That's what PillPack is, and I love it.
So was there anything else from WWDC that we
Man, that was
cover?
A lot, wasn't it?
It was a lot.
It's funny because I was gearing us up, myself up and the audience up to be disappointed. And I think even Apple was because I think they leaked out to iMore, to Renee Ritchie and others. Now, Renee won't say this, but I'm going to project on him. Somebody called and said, hey, could you put out the word there's not going to be people are talking these crazy rumors of monitors with GPSs and iPad, new Mac Pros with OLED screens.
Apple Car.
Yeah, I mean, these are crazy. We're not going to announce hardware this week. And so Apple, I think, did a concerted effort last week to lower expectations. And I was ready to kind of think, well, no new hardware. Okay, this is going to be kind of a typical developer conference. They're just going to talk about new developer features. But actually, it was great. I think they announced a lot of great – no individual feature was like, this is going to change the world. But in aggregate, I think what they announced was great. I'm very excited. And it does make me want to – you know, use the platform 100% across the board so I get the synergies of all these different new tools. Lots of little things adding up to, I think, a great improvement.
And, of course, there will be iPhone 7s, you know, in the fall.
Yeah.
But, I mean, maybe we should take this as a lesson to stop demanding so much hardware. You know, I mean, maybe this, it's good enough. Like, this phone that I got last year is good enough. Like, this iPad.
You know, okay, but I will dissent here. They have it, the Mac Pro, which I think is a massive flop, the black trash can Mac. I bought one. Very expensive. They haven't even put a new processor in that thing since the end of 2013. 2.5 years. No updates at all. And it's not very upgradable. I mean, what you see is what you get. And I think a lot of people who bought it, like me, had poor results, poor reliability. So that's a disappointment. It's been 5 years since the MacBook Pro was updated. I think it's time. I don't mean just like the new processor, but I think maybe rethink the design. How could you make it better? Maybe move to a Type-C connector that kind of started that with the MacBook. I feel like I joke that Johnny Ive's on sabbatical. But it kind of is like that, isn't it? It's like, what is he done? What is he doing?
There is, at the SF MoMA, they do have a whole exhibit. Like, they have it, like Johnny Ive, you know, the artist platform where it says,
yeah.
you know, and they've got
well,
the
he is an artist.
iPhone there.
His retrospective,
and,
yeah.
But, like, maybe, you know,
But all I can say is I just hope Johnny's in that lab. He's working really hard. They're creating prototype after prototype, and that it is very – I mean, we know we're going to see a new iPhone.
Right,
but
a new iPhone, yes.
Year, iPhone
but what else do you want? I mean, what do you want?
I want new Macs. I want new Macs. I feel like they're kind of – for a long time, Apple led the pack. You know, when they did the MacBook Air, everybody on the Windows side had to do an Ultrabook. You know, Intel even announced, we've got a new platform, the Ultrabook, because it's just a clone of the MacBook Air. I want to see some more innovation on the Mac side. I hope that the iPhone isn't so incredibly successful that they're just saying, well, we don't have to do anything with the Mac.
Mm-hmm.
We could put it off another year.
Right.
I would hope not. Because the new OS X, the new Mac OS, looks great.
It does.
And I'd like to buy a new... My 5K iMac is fine. That's a really nice device. I'd like to buy a new MacBook Pro to go with that.
I'd spend some money. You heard it, Apple. He's buying, so
yeah.
You better start selling again.
Yeah.
I have a few updates. You know how you used to not be able to put a photo on Instagram from your photos? Had you ever had that? You're a big Instagrammer.
I am. I love it.
So they updated it recently.
So I can be in Apple Photos?
You can be in Apple Photos. If you show my screen, I will show you.
I'm going to Instagram right now.
So I take this picture.
Yeah.
I press the share button there and, you know, all the ways you share. And now Instagram also. So you can also.
Oh, it's added to the share sheet, as they call
it. But it wasn't there before and you couldn't add it before until this update. So
actually, it feels like there's a lot of stuff in the share sheets now.
There are a lot of stuff.
This is a longer list. So for a long time, Apple's justification for limited share capabilities was, well, we don't want to overwhelm people with too many options. And so you had just a few, really a handful, mostly Apple apps and maybe YouTube, Vimeo, and Twitter, Facebook. Now there's a lot more. Look at that. Slack, Messenger, OneDrive, Evernote, Tumblr, Instagram, WhatsApp, Inbox. That's the Google email app. Google Keep, Hangouts, Google Drive. That's good. This is kind of what Android... I think this is pressure from Android, because Android does that. When you install a new app, the capability to share to that app is automatically added to the Android equivalent of the share sheet. So I'm glad to see Google doing this.
So a couple updates...
I'm sorry, Apple doing this.
A couple updates to last week we talked about programming. Teach yourself how to program. There was a big announcement from WWDC, the Swift Playgrounds app.
It's not available now.
It's going to come out with iOS 10. But it's going to be free, and it looks just as great as everything that we showed last week, and even
better. They say it's for children. I'm going to be playing with this sucker. This looks great.
Yeah, they said it's for everyone.
Learning Swift is really a good thing these days. It's a very good language. It's very good on Apple, and because they've open sourced it, we're starting to see people use Swift on other platforms. Boy, this is exciting. I think this is a really neat tool. Anything that gets kids coding and excited about coding. What's different from the ones we showed, remember the ones we showed last week, a lot of them were drag and drop. They had little, like a construction kit with bubbles and you would attach them and so forth. And that seems to be a real trend among programming languages for kids. Google even did that with their app inventor for Android. But this is typing.
Yeah.
You type actual code. And it looks like it's the same exact Swift code that you'd use as a professional programmer. I like that. I'm excited. I can't wait to play with that.
Right. Yeah. And they said there's an all-new coding keyboard within there. So I didn't get a good close-up look.
The deal is that there are certain keys that you use more when you're writing programs than you would use if you're writing a letter. And so those keys will be easier to get to. They'll be you press and swipe up keys. Will be all there to times and divide and add and subtract and... the kinds of keys that you would normally have to press in a function key. And, well, the percent sign, for instance, you have to kind of dig through the keyboard to get to it. It'll be much better to get to that now.
That will be nice. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. They didn't make it clear whether it's a separate third-party keyboard that you could install on other apps. It looks like it's dedicated to that app. I can't remember. Can you remember other apps that had their own specialized keyboard just for that app? I don't think so. That's something only Apple can do.
Mm-hmm. So last week, we also talked about the Harvard CS50 class that you could take online for free to learn to code. And I asked if anyone had taken it and what their experience was. And Brandon Parks emailed, and he said he completed the course last summer online. It's another course that you can get on iTunes U as well as edX. He says, I went into it with no coding experience prior to taking the course.
Wow.
I felt that the first few classes were fairly easy, but as the class went on, the learning curve became steeper, and the more I had to go to other online sources, forums, and the like to see how to complete the assignments. In other words, the classes were not enough at certain points to provide me the instruction I needed to figure out the assignments. But overall, I would definitely recommend this course, as it provides a solid starting point for anyone who wants to code, and you get everything for free.
The college classes are kind of like that, right? They start out easy and then get hard real quick.
I guess so, yeah. And then you have to, like, talk to your friends. That's when.
Well, or you go to the study. The one thing that you don't get with an online class is you don't get the study session with the TA or the what do they call it? Not labs, but, like, you get the lecture on the app, but you don't get the groups.
Right.
So that, you know, that's where you would go and say, well, how does this work? But the good news is, and you notice he said that, you can go out on the internet and get additional materials.
Right.
I find, you know, anytime I read a programming book or start learning a new language, it's really easy for the first two chapters. And then it gets hard.
Right. You have to put work into it.
It's hard. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So here's the question that I sent you on Facebook Messenger that you alluded to earlier.
Yeah. I want you to explain what you want.
Dominic says, I'm searching for an Apple app.
Yeah.
To-do list or reminder, something like Wunderlist, that also sends a text message instead of email to another person to remind him to. So,
this sounds very annoying.
Sends a text message.
It sounds like you want to annoy your friends. So let's say you want to send yourself a text message. How about that?
So Google does that. Google Apps for Work. I followed up with Dominic and said, are you using Google Apps for Work? Because they will. That is one of the features in Google Apps for Work, and a reminder. You know, Google makes it very easy to do reminders now in the calendar app. You just, I mean, it basically is one of the little plus sign, and you can do a reminder. And you can be remind. You can remind yourself, and I'm assuming that you can add people also to remind them through a text message.
I am going to turn to my ever-popular beloved If This Then That.
That was my other suggestion too. Does If This Then That work with?
So what you're looking for is a to-do list of any kind, and If This Then That does have a number of them. That would then you could say trigger a text message, and you certainly can send text messages with If This Then That. I don't know. Here's a question. Can you do that with an iPhone? I know you can do it with Android phones. It may be that because of Apple's locked down nature.
Well, I have a link.
Can you send a text message on an iPhone?
Yes. Connect iOS reminders to SMS.
There you go.
Link.
So you can make a notification.
Right, an SMS. So, yeah, I mean, he's not saying like he wants to use iMessage necessarily.
Right.
So you could connect
text,
it to reminders.
As long as you can send a text message, you're golden, because there's plenty of ways to do this. If This Then That is really wide open, right? It's like it is like programming. The whole, if you've not used it before, the whole notion, and it's free, by the way, is that you have a trigger event. That's if this trigger happens, then do that. And they have, so they have a wide range, but not an infinite range of trigger possibilities. Let's say a reminder pops up on your iPhone. That could be a trigger. If you get a reminder on my iPhone, then call me and read it to me would be one recipe that you could make. So I'm pretty sure it's just the thing is it's very open-ended like any programming language. So you'd have to check to make sure that there be an appropriate trigger and an appropriate response to that trigger. But I'm just looking here at all the different potential triggers, and there's quite a few, and I bet you could find something. I use If This Then That, for instance, with my automatic. When I pull up out front, the automatic, which is attached to my car, sends a signal saying he's turned off the engine. That's all it sends to my phone, and my phone gets the GPS coordinates, and then If This Then That gets a trigger saying he turned off his car at this GPS coordinate. And then it looks at its recipe, and which says, if Leo turns off his ignition in this area, then send a tweet. And the tweet says, Leo just pulled up. Let's start a show. So all of that is done with If This Then That and various devices and so forth. And so I would be surprised if you couldn't get it to do exactly what you want to do. In fact, maybe even something more specific to your... Is it that you want to remind your son that it's his duty as a son to take out the garbage every Tuesday? You know, if that's what you want to do, I'm sure you could find something suitable. And it may be that instead of sending a text message, you send him a tweet or a WhatsApp message or a Facebook message, because you can do a lot of that too.
Yeah, it'd be important to know specifically what you wanted. If you're using it for like groceries, like I have my reminders app set. Like I make my grocery list, and then like when I'm at Petaluma Market or when I'm at Target, I get a reminder when I get near there. Like a GPS remind me when I get to Target that I need toilet paper, and it reminds me. And
this works with, like, here's a GE dryer. I can have a text message when my clothes are dry. I mean, this is wonderful. If you haven't played with this and that, it is great. And there are some competitors, Zapier, which I also use, Zapier.com. But if this and that has an iPhone app, and it makes it very easy. You just pick your trigger. And there's so much you could do. I'm just looking through it to see if there's something along these lines. But iOS location, there's one. So I wouldn't even need to use an automatic. In fact, maybe I'll change my trigger because sometimes I walk. So maybe just when Leo gets close to the studio, warn everybody to put the booze away. I should just do that.
I have it set so that whenever I get to the studio, it marks the time and puts it in a spreadsheet. And whenever I leave the studio, so that if you were ever to check when I was here working and not working, you could.
Do you really do that?
I did. I was just testing to see.
Because we don't make you do a timesheet.
No, you don't
we?
Make me do.
Okay.
I was doing it for this reason.
But that would be a great use if you had to do a timesheet.
Yeah, I was doing it for like a work-life balance type thing. Like, how much time am I spending at work, and is it healthy for me? So
that's
I know
really
every
cool.
time I arrive here. So now I have a long spreadsheet.
Right.
If when I'm here and when I'm not here.
And if you stop coming to work, call an undertaker.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Very
I
nice.
Love it this
and oh, that. Man.
It's also a good way to...
Play with it more, because
yeah.
there's new capabilities
right.
all the time.
And people complain, oh, my Amazon Echo doesn't really work with my iPhone, but you can use if this and that to
Absolutely.
Get it to
yeah.
play nice with your...
Yeah, this is one area where Apple is, I think, a little behind the rest of the world. And they do it for a reason. They lock it down so much that a lot of times you can't access features of the phone through a third-party app. Like you can't make a text. I don't know if you can. I should see if you could use messages to send a text message and if this and that. I wouldn't be surprised if you couldn't, but maybe you can. I don't know.
What about Trello? Do you ever use Trello?
I am aware of Trello, but I don't actually have any projects to manage.
True.
So I have no real use for it. What are you doing with Trello?
I haven't used it. I just thought this would be maybe a way to get someone, if it was a work question, that
right.
you know, that Trello seemed to be another app that you could control. And maybe send text message reminders to someone.
Sure.
But I'm going to start a Trello project, and then there'll be another way you can ignore me. My Trellos.
My life is very simple now. Don't make it more complicated, Maroney.
Okay, Dan writes, just a suggestion. I came across the Kickstarter 06 Free Your Eyes. It's for the blindsided. It's supposed to give you eyes-free and distraction-free control of your iOS device. What do you think? And he says, I always find it interesting when products that are initially developed for the disabled are then modified for the non-disabled. Hopefully this will result in the prices for these products, apps being reasonable. I think Dan was responding to when we were talking about accessibility products, which are so expensive. And
right.
Why are they so expensive? So there's a video of the Free Your Eyes.
I want to see.
Like
I don't understand.
It's like a little button. There we go. So it's a little button that you use to control Siri. So it's like a little bit like the Echo.
I don't get it.
It's a
little button.
What are you freeing your eyes from? I guess not having to.
I hope you're not driving if you're blind, because that could be troubling.
Eyes free smart. I think
control.
It's a button that calls Siri, so you don't have to look.
So what we're not hearing is the audio. It's saying every time you push that button, it goes.
It reads.
Okay.
And
okay.
Maybe even listens to your email.
Oh, that's nice. Well, it's kind of like that thing I showed. On the new screensavers from Logitech, the Zero Touch. You know, I should show you that on
you
the
should.
Show. Maybe next week I will.
Okay.
I don't have
the
it with
I don't know.
Logitech sells a $60 thing. It's a magnet. And it doesn't work with the iPhone. That's why I haven't showed it to you. It only works with the Android devices for this reason I was talking about, which is Apple doesn't let them do what they want to do. So maybe you do want that. But if you have an Android phone, you put a little piece of metal on the back. It comes with little sticky metals. You put it, and it goes to the magnet, and you could put the magnet on your dashboard, or you can put it in your vents, because it has little vent thing. And there's an NFC chip, I guess. Another reason it doesn't work on the iPhone. An NFC chip in the magnet. So the app gets launched as soon as you put it on there on your phone. And it says, I'm here. I'm ready. If you want anything, just wave at me. And it uses the light sensor in the front of the phone. So if you wave at it, it triggers it. It says, yes, Leo, what do you want? And then you can send a text message. You can play music. You can navigate. The few things that you would want to do in a hands-free way. So this sounds very similar to that. The problem is, of course, even though there is NFC in iPhones, no other third party is allowed to use it, only Apple. So I guess that's why you have to push a button.
Right.
So it's the same idea. You push the button is the same way of triggering Siri, and then you can tell her what you want. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, Thomas from San Diego writes, what's the best way, safe and secure, to dispose of a working but old iPod Touch? I was thinking I could do a factory reset and then turn it into an e-waste disposal company. I'm not sure if all my data will have been erased, though. So I was thinking either Gazelle or Apple has a program.
Yeah, Gazelle will wipe them. Apple does, too. You could bring it to the Apple store. I would trust Apple to wipe it. It's hard. SSD, which is what's in your touch and your phone and your iPad and sometimes even in your computer, is hard to wipe. The traditional methods we have of erasing data don't work the same on SSD. So there's always a risk when you're turning in a device with solid-state memory like an iPod Touch or an iPhone that some information could leak through. But it would have to be a motivated bad guy who would use tools to get into the drive. I think your iPhone is almost certainly, and your iPod Touch are almost certainly safe just because of the nature of the security of that platform. But if you're worried, bring it to Apple. Recycle it at Apple. They for sure won't, misuse the data. And they have, I think they pay pretty well. I think they do very well. They're probably competitive with Gazelle. I haven't checked the prices, but I think they are.
Well, Stacy Miller from Missouri writes, I have used iBird Pro for years and I love it. Tell Leo he will love it too. iBird Pro is the app that you showed off last.
Oh, I bet Stacy's a birder.
I sync my Bluetooth speaker to my iPad or my iPhone and call cardinals into my yard. I have had 50 at a time, all beautiful red males. I have not missed one episode of iOS Today. I watch as soon as
Thank
I get
you.
Home from work every Tuesday and watch the original screensavers. Leo has made me an iOS geek.
Oh.
Thank you, Stacy.
I'm so happy. So well, there's another use for the iBird program is to get rid of crows.
Oh.
Now, I didn't know about this, but Mitch Waite, who created the iBird program, the iBird program, as I showed you last week, has bird calls in it. Mm-hmm. And he said there's a couple of birds that scare the heck out of crows. And all you have to do, and you could do this, Stacy, since you've got your speaker attached to it. Sometimes you're making those nice bird calls. But if crows invade your yard, you play, I can't remember, was it a hawk? There was a bird that the crows just are terrified of. You play that call and the crows go away.
Mm.
Isn't that awesome? I'm trying to find the name of the bird. If you watch the Mitch Waite triangulation I did with him, he talks about that. It is a particular bird call that birds just hate. Crows.
No.
I don't like crows. Did I mention that?
I don't like them.
You know why? They're bad. No, I'll tell you why. They come into your yard and they chase all the songbirds away, and then they just sit there going, and I want the songbirds mm-hmm. back. He said, Mitch says, and he's right, the crows come and go. They don't stay there. They go somewhere else eventually.
So. They're very smart crows.
Well, he says he loves crows because they're so smart.
Yeah. They recognize people's faces.
Oh, I know. They're way too smart. I don't want a smart bird. Mm. That's terrifying.
Just terrifying.
Terrifying.
All right. This is the time in the show where we wear hats.
Really? Is it here already?
It's here already.
And I'll tell you the story of that one.
Okay, please do.
I got that in St. Petersburg. That is a Russian policeman's hat.
I love it.
Now, because I didn't want to offend the Donald Trump supporters, I took the communist hammer and sickle off the front there.
Good.
But that's what that's from. That's the origins of that one.
And where's your hat from?
This is a Coast Guard chief's hat, but it feels like somebody wore it and screwed it up because it's like this is kind of...
What's going on there?
Well... you ever have like your underpants, like the springy stuff get baggy and then your pants fall down? You ever have that happen?
It's time to get new underpants.
I feel like this has happened to this, that all the spring has gone out of it.
It does look like that. What happened
if
there?
If this hat was underpants, I'd be in It'd be falling apart.
If this hat was under pants, look, how many times do I find myself saying that?
You know what?
Never.
I think this is a known problem because somebody has put a paperclip back here to help me tighten up my my pants band.
Right. Maybe your head's getting smaller.
Could be. Anyway, I want to thank the guy who gave me this, who's a Coast Guard chief. And this was an official hat. He said, I have an extra. And that was very nice of him to give me that. So
Scooter,
I didn't earn
it. The elastic dried out.
It dried out? Wow.
I don't know why it's stretched out like that anyway, though.
Yeah.
But we don't talk about hat physics. we talk about apps.
We wear these hats.
We wear these hats. It's App Cap.
To celebrate. To honor.
And my app pick is Motion Stills. It's a Google app that's finally doing something with your live photos.
I am so excited about this.
Have you used this app?
Yeah.
But they did say in the keynote today that they were going to add stabilization to live photos.
Yeah, but so, this is more than that because it will turn. So one of the live photos, right? Yeah. When you take a picture on the latest iPhones, for 3 seconds, so the second and a half before you take the picture and a second and a half after you take a picture, it stores the video. Mm-hmm. And when you press and hold using force touch that live image, you'll get the whole video. So the image, which is a still, will come alive.
Right.
But there's a couple of problems. One is the image is stored as a JPEG and the movie stored as an MOV file. And it's a lower resolution MOV file than the JPEG. So, you know, it's kind of, and if you try to upload it to Google Photos and stuff, sometimes you lose the animation. You just get the still. This is awesome what Google has done, I think.
Right. So here I have the app open on my iPhone, and it's just, I wonder you weren't showing it. There we go. So this is just showing all the photos.
So those are all live stills.
Yeah, so you can see like when someone's posing for a picture and then that
I love that.
Like what really happens.
It's great with
you.
Kids. It just kind of brings it to life.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like it's, you know, when you're, it tells the truth of when you're trying to take a photo.
Unfortunately, all my live photos end with me putting the camera down.
Yeah, so like it's just like this moment that I will appreciate, although I didn't really appreciate it at the time. And so I can, like, try to.
You will. When they're out of the house, you'll look back on it saying, I miss those.
And then I can just share it.
Critters.
So I can send a GIF or I can share a clip. And then all my share options are here. I can send it to my iPad directly there, or I can mail it, or Facebook, or Twitter, or Instagram. And then it's like a cute little video that you've sent. So you can also stitch them together, too.
It's neat. They turn it into an animated GIF.
And, yeah, if you want to stitch a bunch of them together.
The nice thing about it being an animated GIF is it works even in places that don't understand the video or the still. Almost everything can play back an animated GIF. So that's awesome.
Yeah. So it's called Motion Stills. It's free. I love it.
And it's free.
And it's from Google.
Motion
so
still.
We will see. This is another one of my favorite. Like, you just take a picture, and then you just see what's actually happening there.
I got to get that on here. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. And you mentioned, right, though, that it does the smoothing.
Stabilization. Yes.
So a lot of times these live photos aren't so great because they're because you're not thinking you're taking a movie. You think you're taking a still, so they're kind of shaky.
Right, they're shaky, yeah.
And so that's nice, too. I think they do a good job of recovering
those. Motion Stills. So, again, Google, like, adding to Apple's
You know,
products.
It's Father's Day on Sunday.
No, it's not. Oh, it is. Oh, my goodness.
You don't have a gift, do you?
I
got something for you.
Dad, yes, please.
Your dad loves...
Oh, it's already
Sunday.
Father's Day. I have a gift, Dad. Tell me.
You know what I ordered for my dad?
What?
And it was just lucky. I was floating around the internet and I saw this thing. It's like a paperweight, Lucite cube paperweight, but inside is a globe, but it's in liquid, so it kind of rotates.
Oh.
So I got two of them, one for me and one for my dad.
What about one for my dad?
Your dad? I've got something for Brian. He's going to love this. Exploding kittens.
Oh, he does love exploding kittens.
It's actually, Apple is funny. On the Apple store, they have... gifts for dad or, like, games to play with dad, which I think is, you know, can I tell you, kids, you really want to give something to dad, give him some of your time, right? Play a game, do something with your dad, spend time with your dad. That's all dads want. I don't need another tie or a belt or exploding kittens. I need time. But this is a game you can play with dad because the problem with spending time with your dad is what are you going to talk about? So it's kind of awkward silence time, right? That's no fun. So you need an activity. See, my dad and I will go to a baseball game so we can sit in awkward silence looking at a game. It's great. But this is playing a game, and you know what? This is such a fun game. I think you're going to find things to talk about. It's called Exploding Kittens. You may have seen it before because it's a card game. I want to say it's from the same people that did Cards Against Humanity. It seems like it's related anyway. Have you ever played Cards Against Humanity?
It was a huge Kickstarter. I remember
Don't
that.
Don't put it on top.
It's got a great sense of, oh, that's why. I wanted to be the shark, but I have to. So it's $1.99 for the basic. But then if you want to be Jesus, you have to pay $1.99 for the avatars.
To be Jesus?
Well, or what? I don't know, a guy with a beard in sandals. Oh, no, it says Jesus.
It's the creators of the people who do the oatmeal, the artists.
It's oatmeal. That's right. It's oatmeal. The oatmeal. That's why they all look like he drew them. Now, I could play with friends. So I could have Dad sitting on his iPad. And I could host a game. We could play against each other. Or I could play with strangers. You want to play? Let's play with strangers. Now, the basic deck is there, but you can also get the Cat Butt Party expansion. That includes Core Deck, Cat Butt, Kitty Diarrhea, Triple Slap, and See the Future. Or you can get the Betrayal expansion that gives you Alter the Future, Fake Shuffle, Kitten Roll Can, Roll Call, and Self Slap. I'm just going to just use the regular one. And it's connecting. Now, have you ever played Uno?
Yes.
It's like Uno. Okay? It's very similar to Uno. The idea is in the deck of cards, there are exploding kitten cards, like four of them, something like that. So you're going to play an Uno-like game, and the goal of the game is not to draw an exploding kitten. But if you do draw an exploding kitten, hope that you have an antidote. It doesn't look like I have an antidote. Is it my turn here? I'm going to see the future. So I'm going to play this. This lets me see the next three cards. Shuffle, slap, and diffuse. Okay, so shuffle, slap, and diffuse are the next three cards there. Now it's his turn to play a game. Maybe I just get to... Do I get to pick a card? I do. Because I knew it's safe because I saw that. So shuffle.
1, 2, 3 kittens.
Okay, he's seeing the future too. He's got the mantis shrimp. This is oatmeal. First of all, who doesn't love the oatmeal, right? Oatmeal's sense of humor, oatmeal drawings... And it's really kind of a bonus, exploding kittens. What more could you ask for? As somebody who just got a new kitten, this satisfies. Oh, he's got a double slap. So he's going to make Anna Fisto take two turns. That means he's going to double his chances. He slapped him. He's going to double his chances of getting a exploding kittens card. Now, I really don't want to get an exploding. Oh, I have one diffuse here, the kitten banjos. That's good. So I don't mind if I get a exploding kitten right now. Boo Boo reshuffled the draw pile. That's too bad because I saw the future, but now the future has changed.
Your turn.
Oh, Boo Boo just disconnected. It's my turn here. I am going to skip. In other words, ride my bunny raptor and let it be M's turn again. So we're skipping over to M. The idea is you really don't want to draw cards from this stack because it's unknown right now. 13% chance of exploding kitten at this point. Oh, they just shifted it back the other direction. See, it's like Uno, isn't
it? It's your turn.
Is this on the Apple TV? It would be great if this were on the
Apple TV. Oh, I don't know. So I could steal a card. I'm going to steal a card from Anna Fisto because he's down to one card there. Anna Fisto's going to choose a card to give me. Double slap. Nice. I like the double slap. So is it still my turn? Can I double slap? I can. I'm going to double slap you. Wow. He's going to take two more cards. Okay.
So I could play with you on my device.
Yeah, you could put it on. If you had exploding kittens, $1.99. Oh, he got an exploding kitten. Can he defuse it? Yes, he did. He used the laser pointer of Great Cat Justice to defuse. But now, by the way, he's putting it back in the deck. So as we pull cards, it gets more and more. Harry Potato Cat. So, you get the idea. I think that the problem, only negative on this is you paid $1.99 and there's all these in-app purchases that you're really going to want to get.
LOL, right? LOL.
He got a diffuse. Because, see, you get sayings. Like, I could say...
I can't believe it.
You get sayings, but you get more sayings if you buy a pack, right? So...
Darn it. I'm so scared. Oh, my
knee. I don't like in-app purchases, but I like to support... people that I respect, and the oatmeal has given a lot of free content over the years.
Yeah, this was a Kickstarter. That's right. Yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Leo.
I'm not done.
Oh, sorry.
Wordless poor singing. Oh, it's my turn. Okay, I'm going to skip me.
OMG.
They're very talkative. Oh, can he defuse it? Does he have time? Yes, he did. He had a catnip sandwich. See, I'm down to my last defuse card, which is not good. You don't want to just throw away a defuse card. Exploding kitten coming back. But I think I could take from the deck at this point because I have the defuse card, so it'd be safe to do so. Oh, he defused as well. Kitten banjo. Yeehaw!
Your turn.
Okay, thank you.
Boom, ba-dum.
I got a single slap. Huh?
How long does the game last?
Okay, you can stop the show, but I'm going to continue to play the game if you don't mind.
I think you are. Are you out of town next week? Is that correct? Or is that
I am out of town. I'm going to Newport Beach. We're going to ride the Duffy boats.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you'll have this game to play while you're there.
I will. We're going to play. The whole family's going to play. And it'll be a lot of fun. Kitten slap. And who are you going to have? Jason Snell come
in? Jason Snell will be here in studio to take your place.
All right. Well, that's going to be a great time because Jason knows his stuff, unlike me. So that should be great. And I will be back in 2 weeks.
You will. Yeah. So thank you for watching. Thank our live audience for watching. I love having a live audience because when you say something crazy, I can look at them and think, oh, yeah.
Is it me? Or is
not just me.
Is his underwear slipping? And... And then you get confirmation.
Right, exactly. Right. We should, if you come see the show and sit in those chairs and help me, please. We do the show every Monday, 1:30 Pacific-ish.
Yeah, whenever Leo gets through with lunch and deigns to join us, basically.
And you can email me at megan@twit.tv or DM me on Twitter if you've got suggestions or questions. And you can subscribe to the show at twit.tv/iOS. Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll see you next time and have a great time next week on iOS Today. Bye-bye. Oh, now I know why my underwear is loose. It's all this throwing around of the cat.